Hello, I'm Professor Liu. Welcome to our live stream. I'm here today with Art Prof teaching artist Jordan McCracken Foster and Kat Wong. This is a new series of videos that we have started called Art School Tea, where we dish on all of our art school adventures that we have all had over the past few years. If you would like to grow as an artist and you can't afford an art class, we've got everything you need here at Art Prof, critiques and tutorials. Jordan, can you explain to people exactly what a group critique is in the context of art school? Because for us, it's like breathing, but actually, I think a lot of people don't really know what's involved with a group critique at art school.
Right. So generally, the way the day starts is you hang all of your artwork on the wall, and when it gets to your turn, you present your work. You say, "Hi, my piece is about, I don't know, the something from my past," and you just explain a little bit, just enough so that everyone in the audience, your classmates and your teacher, understand what you're trying to say. And then you sit there all quiet, and you wait for everyone to say really nice things about your work or really bad things or a combination of both. So it's all meant to be constructive and helpful. They don't always go very well, but it's all meant to help you learn and grow as an artist.
Kat, how would you describe the role of critique in the culture of art school? Is it a small piece of life? Is it a big part of your experience as an art school student?
Oh, it's absolutely a huge part of your art school experience. You haven't experienced art school until you've experienced group critique, and you experience it pretty much every day, every single class day, really. And even outside of the class, students will gather around and be like, "Please help me," and then you'll have another mini group critique.
They're a huge part of the experience. I feel that people talk about critique more than almost anything else when they're at art school. They talk about how it went, they're worried about a critique, or they're anticipating something. It's just a really, really big part of the culture that I think is tricky because you are very much navigating, first of all, so many different types of people. You've got a different class, you've got a different professor, depending on the group of students that you have, the dynamics can be really, really different. So, Jordan, how would you describe the best case scenario for a group critique? A great class and the critique went really well. What do you expect to see out of that scenario?
So the best critiques that I've ever received are ones where people like the technical aspect of whatever I was doing, whether it was a drawing or a painting or character, environment, whatever. And then if they appreciated the underlayer of what I was trying to say in terms of the emotion or the mood of the piece and the message behind it. And so whenever those two link up, you always leave the class feeling like, "Yeah, I did something really great," and you're kind of floating on clouds after that.
And Kat, how would you describe a really rotten critique experience, which all three of us have experienced, I'm sure, on
Oh,
multiple
man.
occasions?
Yeah, rotten critiques can take many forms. One form is no one has anything constructive to say. Like they look at your piece and they're like, "I like the colors," and then they don't say anything more to help you. Another form of a rotten critique could be nobody says anything. And that's already like really awkward, and also just it just really frustrates you that nobody's willing to engage with your piece and ask questions. Another form of a rotten critique is where you, I don't know, like something goes wrong with the timing, like you don't get enough time as other people, or you spend too long in some other pieces. Like it's really a balance. It's an interaction between you, the students, and also the teacher.
Neil is asking in the chat, what does spilling the tea exactly mean? When my classmates share tea, they straight up gossip and bully someone verbally. It's not fun. All right, Jordan, let's give your hip explanation of spilling the tea because I don't think I'm going to be accurate.
It's actually not too different from your guess as to what spilling the tea is. And so with our collective art school experiences, There's been some really great things, and there's been some things that if we could go back in time and fix them, I'm sure we would. And so this is our time to sort of unleash all of those stories and let you guys know a little bit about the behind the scenes things that you don't see on the art school website when you click on them.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I think we're doing this series of streams is that I think you know when schools put out their catalogs and their websites, of course they're trying to make themselves look fabulous. I mean, that's the whole point of those types of materials. But we're here to tell you guys, yes, art school can be an amazing thing, but it's not without its problems. And so I think for those of you who are thinking about art school, or maybe you're in art school right now, that we can provide a little bit of guidance, if anything, just to say, you know what, it's okay if that happens to you. We've all survived those different scenarios. Lori is saying, I'm totally scared to have anything I've done critiqued. Kat, how would you respond to that? Because there is that fear for a lot of people, like, oh my God, I'm so nervous. Like, do you have any suggestions for how to overcome that fear?
Absolutely. So, of course, everyone feels this fear when they first get their first critique. But what I can say is it'll get better over time and you'll get used to it. It won't be any less fearful. You will just get used to it. And ultimately, you'll know that you want to improve. And the only way you can improve is by getting the critique and the help and the input of those around you.
Yeah, and I think actually in art school, what makes the critiques intimidating for a lot of people is the public nature of them. Because here at Art Prof, sometimes you guys are with us in the Discord and we're giving you advice there. Other times it's on the YouTube channel. And yeah, it's on YouTube and people can watch it, but we're not together in person. So Jordan, how would you describe that public nature of critique and sort of the good and bad sides of it? Because I don't think it's always a bad thing. It can be, but it can also be a very positive experience being so public.
Yeah. Well, first of all, making the assumption that you are very sensitive when it comes to your artwork, that's probably the worst part of it all, is when you've put your heart and soul into this piece and then you're laying it out for everyone to see, and then you're in the position where you're saying, okay, everyone has to judge my work. At first, it can feel like they're judging you as a person. That's the thing that I had to overcome, because when I first had critiques, I was like, you guys don't know me. You guys don't know my life or what I've been through. And I thought that they were judging me as an individual. And it took me some time to go, no, it's nothing wrong with the person. It's just your work sucks right now. We're trying to make it better. And that's kind of the way you have to look at it. So I'm sorry. Yeah, that's one of the biggest hurdles. But in terms of, you know, everything else, everyone's simply just there trying to guide you and help you. And I think probably the other thing that makes it uncomfortable is just the idea of public speaking. That's a big concern for a lot of people, being just presenting in front of an audience, especially people who you don't know very well. So I'd say that those are the two like really scary things. But by the end of it, hopefully you get better at those and understanding, like, you know, this is, you have to present your work sometimes, and that's just how it goes. And you become more confident as an artist and with what you have to say.
Tom G is saying, I'm always intimidated and don't feel I have the experience or knowledge to critique a, quote, better artist. I hear that a lot from many students, Tom. That's an extremely common feeling, that people say, oh, well, I don't feel that I have the skill set. I don't deserve to give an opinion on somebody else's work. But I'll tell you, people go to museums and they have no art experience. And in my opinion, their opinion almost matters more, because they don't have all the art history training and stuff like that. So to me, just by being a person, being a viewer, someone who's seeing that artwork, you deserve to have a voice. What do you think about that, Kat? Did you ever struggle with that as a student, feeling like, oh, I'm not really valid to say something here?
Oh my gosh. I have a very specific story in mind, actually. Towards the end of the semester, my professor pulled out his work and asked us students to critique the professor's work. And we were all flabbergasted. None of us knew what to say, because we were like, you're the master. You're our teacher. How can we critique you? And I think that was really smart of him to do. He like pulled a fast one on us. And he made us realize that, you know what? Our artists' opinions are valid. Our opinions as viewers are absolutely valid. And using his own work to sort of demonstrate that. And it actually started out pretty quiet, but the critique actually went smoothly after a few bumps at first, because we all realized, like, yeah, like, we all have an opinion about this piece. We all have something to say, and we can say it in an informative way, in a way that can help, in a way that will be very productive.
And by the way, you guys, if you have not seen this video, it's called How to Critique Art. There's way more stories in this video, and I actually give a lot of advice for students and teachers about how to approach critique and what the purpose is. So if you guys are interested in this, definitely take a look at this video. Sterling Richards is asking, I'm wondering about the format of a critique. What points are typically addressed? Jordan, why don't you take that?
So it really depends on what the artwork is doing. You know, there are some pieces that are meant for a more technical critique, like this hand is off, you know, and if, you know, your finger has seven joints for no reason, like things like that. I don't know who ever draw anything like that. But anyway, so there's those types of critiques. And then there's the ones that are more about the meaning and stuff. And so usually it really varies. It really, really depends. And in a case where it's something that's more about a personal experience or something that has more imagination to it, maybe someone will start with the story and they'll say that, oh, well, I'm not understanding the image based on what your idea is compared to what you've actually produced on the page. Maybe some action is not clear, or maybe the color isn't displaying the proper mood, or maybe the composition is really weird and you don't know what's going on. So it really varies. And that's the cool thing about art, is each piece it gets a different critique. You can even go through, you know, all the critiques we've done here on Art Prof, and we could say similar things, but they apply to so many. There's so much to say about each piece that it's hard for everyone to be the exact same.
Yeah, so Sterling, I mean, I think ideally in a classroom, you would cover everything. You would talk about the technique, you would talk about the media choice. I mean, it depends on the assignment. Like, some assignments I have given in the past have been very structured and specific. Sometimes they're super open-ended, so you end up talking about other things. But Kat, I sort of feel like that's where critiques can go in so many directions, is when people really start to talk about subject matter. Because in terms of technique, it's a little bit more straightforward and more concrete what to talk about. But that's where I think stuff gets really complicated, because sometimes the content can be really tough for some people. And I have definitely been in situations where students either have no idea what they're getting themselves into because of the subject matter, and then realize a critique, oh my goodness, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. And it can be really uncomfortable sometimes. Like, Kat, have you ever seen students thinking, oh yeah, I'm making this, this is fine, and then just get completely a really strong reaction and crit?
Right, absolutely, I've seen that. I have a particular story in mind. I was in class with this male student, and he was drawing women in like the most sexual way possible. Absolutely unrealistic. And he presented this piece to a classroom of like 18 strong-willed women. And so you can bet that everyone told him off, going like, this is not real. Have you seen a real woman? And I feel like that guy genuinely didn't know that he drew something offensive. I think maybe it was like media he's consumed, or like a preconceived idea he has in his head or something like that. And then it just popped up in his artwork. But you really do need critique to know how the world will react to your piece. And this the group critique was sort of a mini simulation of the world. And when he saw our really strong negative reaction, I think that's when it dawned on him that what he was doing wasn't okay to present in public.
I think for a lot of people, the group critique, it's a big wake-up call for a lot of artists, because I think we've all had this where you have an idea in your mind and it makes sense to you, and so you make it. And then you put it out there and you realize, oh my God, it doesn't make sense to other people, and I'm just way off. Like, Jordan, has that ever happened with you in different classes where people either really knew what they were doing or had no idea?
Yeah. you know, that there are times similar to the story that Kat told, where people They draw things that they may even think are funny or amusing, and it comes off as very offensive. Actually, Kat and I almost have a story that's almost duplicates in a way, because I had a class, and our assignment was to draw the ideal human figure. And this guy in my class, I was one of maybe 4 or 5 male students, and the rest were female. And it was maybe 20 students. And he took one of those anime figurines, and he goes up and presents in front of the class, and he says, "All right, so I took this class because I wanted to learn how to draw sexy women, and so this is my ideal, is like this super voluptuous anime statue." And I was in the back of I'll be honest, I was laughing in the back of the class, kind of silent to myself, because for anyone who knows me, I laugh about just about anything. And when he said all this stuff, all the women in the class especially, they just started going in on him. And my favorite part, my teacher tried to calm the waters a little bit, and he said, "The assignment is about the ideal human figure, and some people want to do something more classical, and some people are more interested in pornography and lewd imagery." And he's like, "Well, that's my ideal." And that, I just lost it. I think I might have had to step out of the room, because I was like, "Bro, come on, man. Like, you can't just say things like that and not expect a negative reaction from your mostly female student body here." So it's a very interesting state of things at times.
Well, so we've just given two examples where two male artists got eaten alive by female students in a group critique. But I think the flip side of that is sometimes when people's artwork just isn't really acknowledged. Like, Kat, what you said earlier about how that silence, the no response, in some ways, I think is more painful for the artist when people just don't want to acknowledge what it is that you're doing. And it can be really difficult. I mean, Jordan, I know you said that you didn't have this experience so much, but that you had a lot of friends at art school who really did feel like people just didn't want to talk about the subjects they wanted to make artwork about.
There was a couple of students who came up to me or told me stories about how they, usually they're black students or Latino or something like that, and they want to create a piece of artwork about their race and their ethnicity and their culture. And when they're the minority in that classroom, it's oftentimes very difficult for them to get some sort of response, whether it's positive or negative. And they would come and complain, and they'd say, "I actually didn't even bother listening to the critique I received in class because they didn't talk about the subject matter." And instead, they would go to the people who their classmates who represented that culture, whether they were black or Asian or whatever it was. And I always felt really sad about that, because it's one of those situations you can't really control, because not everybody knows everything about everybody. It's really unfortunate.
Kat, did you have anything similar in terms of that deafening silence that sometimes comes up during critique?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all experienced maybe a critique where not a lot of people want to say anything because it is a subject matter that people don't know enough about and aren't brave enough to ask questions and learn more about it. I feel like something that I see often is that we usually talk most about the identities that are in the classroom. And when that identity isn't in the classroom, it isn't a subject that comes up as often. So usually, like, we've all had that story of like women being objectified in art. And I feel like that comes up a lot because there are a lot of women in the classroom. So people are more open to talking about it or are able to talk about it. But I think it's really important to be able to talk about all subjects and all identities with like the mindset of trying to learn more about them and not being so silent and so like apathetic to these subject matters.
So, Jordan, what do you think are maybe some proactive things that students and professors can do to make it a more comfortable environment for people? Because the thing is, you could say, okay, well, students need to do a better job, but honestly, I think the professor really oftentimes should be the person that steps in and says, hey, let's really talk about this. And I know for me, issues of diversity and gender issues, it's totally on the radar for me all the time. I mean, I think Kat and Jordan, you guys said I was the only woman of color who you had as a professor. Was that accurate?
Mm-hmm. Right. In all years of art school, Clara, you're the only woman of color I've had as a studio art professor.
Oh, yeah, same. It took Kat saying that for me to think back and realize that that's the same case for me as well.
Yeah, and I just think that for some people, if you're not a woman of color, you're just not thinking about that stuff as much. And I think people have to start thinking about that more actively and not think, oh, well, that doesn't have anything to do with me because I'm not a woman of color. But it's like, you're part of this conversation and it's your responsibility as an instructor to step up. Because the thing that I have found about being a professor in the classroom is I have license to say things that the students may be just too uncomfortable to talk about. I mean, Kat, did you ever see a professor who really just did not step up in situations like that?
Yeah, I absolutely have. Not just even in uncomfortable situations, but just really obvious situations. Like, I had this one class where somebody didn't do their homework and the teacher didn't say anything. And I was like, okay, so that sort of sets the bar as to like what we should bring into class. Like, I guess you can get away with not doing work at all.
We got a question from Builder D. They're saying, how would you do in-person group critique outside of art school? I went to a community one, and after 3 2-hour sessions, no one gave real any critique to anyone. Well, Jordan, have you ever had a critique that was not in a school context before?
Yeah, actually, I have several friends that came through school and just friends that aren't artists who I rely on to give me good feedback. And sometimes the ones who aren't artists are almost better in some ways, because like we mentioned before, they don't really, what their opinion is like, I'm not coming at it from the perspective of an artist. I don't see certain things, but I can tell you as a regular consumer, this is what I'm seeing. So sometimes I'll talk to them about a story I'm working on, or maybe I show them character design and this character feels out of place for whatever reason. And maybe if they can't even put their finger on it, it at least lets me know that that's something needs to be worked on. And so in that situation, I would find a core group of people who you really trust their opinion, who you can rely on, whether or not they're artists, and they can really guide you. And then at the very least, you have art.
I mean, Builder D, I would tell you in my experience, it's really hard to find a group of people outside of school that really are going to be proactive about that. And I have found in my experience, it's actually better to find maybe 3 friends who you just speak to one-on-one. Because yes, the group critique is great, but you totally can just do that one-on-one or with 2 other friends or something like that. It doesn't have to be a giant group of people, because it is really hard to find people that are local. My friends are all over the place. It's really hard for me to get people together. Tom is asking, how do you react to what may be negative or harsh criticism, like the story about a student being told their art should go in the trash? What do you think, Kat?
Oh man. Well, first of all, when it comes to criticism, like negative critique, stuff to improve on, I think first of all, the person doing the critique has a responsibility of framing that discussion in a productive way. And if they're saying like, this is trash, and like not expanding on that and like intentionally being negative, that person isn't a very good influence in the group critique setting. Now, that being said, if you are on the receiving end of that very harsh critique, I think that you should just step back and wonder, why are they doing this? Are they doing this to bully me, or are they doing this to actually help me? If they're trying to help me, what are the points I can do from here on out that would improve myself? And I think another thing to note is that critique is always something you take with a grain of salt. Sure, of course, listen to everyone, be open to discussion, be open to learning, but know that you can't please everyone in the world. So ultimately, just try to do the best to convey the intention that you have.
I mean, Jordan, did you ever get a critique that was like harsh and tough, but that you walked away thinking, wow, that was really useful? Because I think for most people, they would assume, oh, if I'm getting a tough critique, it must be bad. It must be a terrible experience. But some of the best critiques I ever had was when the professor just kicked my butt and woke me up, and I was like, thank you. So can you explain that this phenomenon of like a hard critique that you actually want?
Oh yeah, that happens to me all the time. One of my favorite teachers, I talked, I laugh about this with him all the time. He has this sort of tick whenever something bothers him in art, like in an art piece, he'll just do this. And he'll just like do this really deep exhale. And as you can hear that from across the classroom, and you hear that, even if you don't see him, you're like, oh, I'm in for it. All right, embrace myself. And I'm like, all right, don't make a face, don't make, And so I had to prepare myself. But the thing is, I know that I can trust that critique because as tough as it's going to be, I know it's only there to help me. And in some ways, those have been some of the best critiques I've had because I know it's coming from a place of love, and just wanting to see me improve and get better. So it also teaches you to just be tough because the world as we've all recognized and seen before, the world is not an easy place to be. And if someone's just trying to help you get better, then you might just need to, pull up your bootstraps and just get a little tough.
Well, I can tell you guys that when I got out of school, I was not prepared for the kinds of comments I was going to get on my artwork. Because when I was in art school, people would say, oh, you need to work on your composition, or I don't really understand the concept, and maybe this could be better. But when I got out of school, the comments were useless. Like, I actually had a curator say to me, I don't care for this. I'm like, really? Like, it was just really frustrating. And so you start to realize after a while, like, wow, that's somebody being really critical, but that's actually something I can think about and that I can consider. If somebody tells you, I don't care for your work, like, that's not helpful at all. It does not give me anything to consider. So I think really, really tricky in that way. Well, Kat, what would you say about the role of the teachers in critiques? Because I think that from what I've seen, the way as a professor that you run a critique, it can make or break the experience for the students.
Right. I think the biggest skill a teacher would need when moderating a group critique is to be encouraging of students' voices. Because I've definitely also had critiques where the teachers just said everything and didn't let the students make their own deductions and their own observations of the piece, or didn't even make room for the students to say anything at all. And I feel like the teacher really needs to facilitate that discussion and make sure everyone is speaking, everyone is feeling brave enough to have an opinion and to discuss it. Another thing is just like, it's just so hard. Like, you're a person when you're a teacher, and you can't be all-knowing about everything. But I think it's equally as important for a teacher to learn and be open to discussions that they're not comfortable about making either. I remember very vividly my freshman year of art school. Somebody presented their favorite artist who was so mediocre. I don't even remember the name. And the teacher was the first person to be like, so why are all the subject matters of your favorite artist just white skinny people? And the teacher himself was a white skinny man. And I was like so glad that like somebody mentioned it because I was new. I was a freshman. I didn't know how to approach that. And I was so glad that the teacher just interjected and just said what I was thinking, basically.
We have a super chat with somebody who has a really awesome username. Guys, their username is Subscribe to Art Prof. Well, thank you very much for the support. I really appreciate that, you guys. Yeah, and you know something, Kat? I have to say, I mean, this is a fairly rotten example of a professor, but I also think that you can do things as a professor to make it a safe space for lots of different types of voices. And I mean, I'd have to do a whole stream on how to do that exactly. And I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, but I definitely know that some professors don't think about that and how to make space for those voices. Like, I've actually heard people complain that, oh, the Asian female students don't talk in class. How do I get them to talk? And I'm going, okay, back up here because this is not isolated to them. This is not their problem, okay? Maybe you're the one who's not helping facilitate things. And so I just think, like, okay, if you're having trouble relating to students and maybe they're not talking to you very much and you notice they're not talking, go talk to them during break. Go ask them what their lives are like and say, hey, what are you guys up to? What did you do this past weekend? It's like that's such a small thing you can do to open the conversation with students who maybe are very shy. I mean, Jordan, I'm sure you've seen students in class who get lost in the mix. Have you seen that at art school?
Oh yeah, all the time. The most intense examples of that is when there's a serious language barrier, and that's always really difficult for teachers to figure out. But I think one of the biggest one of the biggest things that I saw throughout my time is I saw in case of a language barrier, there were some times where students would translate for another classmate. I thought that was really awesome. Then there are times where the teacher just gets really creative and finds new ways to explain the same principle to the point where they get it. And sometimes it takes three or four tries, but at the end they're all like, "Ah, oh, yes, got you. Okay, I know to work on this now." And it's always like a really relieving feeling. And I feel like it trains the teacher as well because now they have a new tool that they can use to help teach someone. And so, as difficult as it is, I think it's one of those things that is necessary, if you want to excel at teaching.
I think that if you're a teacher and you just show the students that you're trying really hard and you end up looking like a big dork in the process, that's really important to them. Because actually, one thing that I do a lot, because I do work with a lot of international students, maybe English is not their first language, is I oftentimes write things down for them. So if I'm having a meeting with a student, I'll make a list of things that we're talking about. Because for a lot of international students, they can read English much better than they can speak it. And so, if you write something down, it's just a lot more concrete. They can go back to it later. I can send it to them in an email. So, those little things, I think, go a really long way. Erica B is saying, how do you go about a critique when you're practically deathly afraid of being on the spotlight? I started to physically freeze in class and my head would shake. Kat, why don't you take that one?
Oh, I think we kind of discussed it earlier as well, but the more critiques you do, the more you'll get used to it. And I think that if you want to just like begin and you're deathly afraid, I think it's okay as a first try, just put your piece out there and you don't have to say anything, just like wait for the critique to roll in. And then from there, sort of like bounce around and have discussions. Because I feel like once the first person says something, like first person breaks the ice, that's when the discussion starts to get rolling. It gets more comfortable. So I know putting it out there, public presentation, it's very scary, but just take that first step and hopefully someone will break the ice and the discussion will happen.
It's very hard, Erica B, but what I would say also is that in art school, I know it can feel very dramatic because if you're in art school, that's your life, right? But the thing is, what I tell students, because students get very upset sometimes because they say to me afterwards, oh my God, that critique was a disaster. I did so badly. And I say to them, you know what? Better here than at your job interview. Because in art school, if you mess up in a critique, the only people that really know that are the people in the classroom. And nothing is really on the line. I mean, I guess you could argue, oh, your grade is on the line, sure, but that is nowhere near the same thing as just totally messing up a job interview because that's it. Like, you had your shot and that's the end of it. So I think if you try as best as you can to pivot it to say, you know what, this is not the final audition, this is just the warm up. And actually, compared to the professional world, the consequences are fairly low. So if you look at it on a more relative basis, maybe that's a good starting place. And then another thing I would do, go talk to the teacher. I mean, we're always happy to talk to students. I've never seen a teacher say, no, go away. That doesn't really happen. And so if you explain to the teacher, hey, I'm really having trouble, at least they know. And then they're more conscious of that. Maybe they can do more to assist you because I would love to tell you guys I can read your minds, but I can't. So, anyway. All right, guys, we have an art prof share today. So, if you guys do not know what an art prof share is, it's basically where one of you guys makes an artwork in reaction to some of our content, whether it's a video tutorial, a discussion we have, something like that. So the art prof share that we have today, it's actually a before and after. So that's basically where somebody makes something, we critique it on Discord, on YouTube, and they then show us the extra work that they did to fix things and to see the change. So this is a piece by Aubrey Theis. Sorry, I don't know how to say your name. Anyway, Aubrey created this piece, and if you guys take a look at it, it's pretty developed. I mean, I think a lot of people would look at this and think, yeah, it's totally finished. But so Aubrey came into the Discord, and you guys should all go there because it's so fun. We're having a big party all the time, right, guys? So Aubrey posted her piece into Discord, and so I gave her some information, and I said, look, really, the issue with this piece is that your lighting is not very consistent and you need better shadows. So, of course, I told her to go watch my lighting and shadows video on portrait drawing, which, by the way, has some entertaining visuals for those of you guys who like hot white men like me. Anyway, so Aubrey watched that, and here is a detail of her second piece. And Jordan, how do you think Aubrey did it in terms of changing the piece?
I think it is really successful, and it's one of those things where it's a subtle change, but it impacts the piece so much just by adding those values on the second half of the face and changing up just the little bit of lighting here and there. The composition is the same, the facial structure is pretty much the same, but that adds so much to it and makes it much more believable and ultimately much more successful. So really good job.
Kat, what do you think about Aubrey's progress between these two pieces? I mean, same piece, actually.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I think this is a huge improvement and kudos to Aubrey. Oh my gosh. Like, I think the first piece kind of feels unfinished, sort of like a bit like a sketch. But then once you look at that second piece, you're like, this is art. And I think the shadows have been pushed way better. You're starting to get to those really dark values, and I'm really happy that you push yourself there because it not only gives your figure volume, it also shows a very clear light source.
Oh, Aubrey is live with us in the chat. Very cool. And she is saying, haha, Fassbender helped me so much. See you guys. It's my whole obsession with hot white male actors. It benefits the world, right, Kat? I'm helping the world with my little obsessions. So anyway, guys. Nice work, Aubrey. We're so excited to see the progress. And I just love progress, you guys. It's the most satisfying thing when you watch people grow. I mean, Jordan, you're in the Discord doing that 2500 drawing challenge. Like, how does it make you feel when you see like really visible progress?
It's really amazing. First of all, the 2500 challenge is not an easy challenge to do. So to see all the people who are taking that on, and then see everyone posting the drawings every day, and seeing drawing one, the drawing 50, which is only a couple of days, seeing that massive improvement, it just feels it makes you feel like you're on top of the world. Like, man, I'm really helping people. And that's always the biggest thing for me is whenever we can help someone grow as an artist. So it's just great.
If you guys would like to be considered for a YouTube shout out here on our videos, just go to artprof.org, click on tutorials. There is a purple button on the left-hand side, and you can submit your artwork here on the ArtProf Share submission form. Now, you don't have to do that if you don't want to, if you just want to have a see what you're making. Sometimes we share stuff in our Instagram stories, so just tag us art.prof and use hashtag artprofshare so we can find you guys easily, and we're happy to show everybody what you guys are doing because that's really, really fun. Anyway, guys, Kat, Jordan, and I, we're going to be hanging out in the Discord in about 5 or 10 minutes, and we love chatting with you guys after the streams because it's always fun to follow up with what we talked about, and if you guys have more questions we didn't get to, we can do that. The link is in the video description below if you don't know how to join. And subscribe to our channel, join the Art Prof family, and thank you so much to our top Patreon supporters who make all of this possible. You guys, we can't do this without you. You are Art Prof essentially. So everybody, thank you for your comments, your suggestions. Stay safe. We'll see you next time.